Your Bibles this morning, be opening to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'd like for us to do a survey, a real survey. I'm not going to pass out a piece of paper, but I'm going to ask you to answer if it will not embarrass you to answer. If you do not want to participate in this survey, you do not have to. I'm going to list five things, and I want you to think just for a moment, and then when you know the answer, raise your hand. If you raise your hand, I'm probably going to call on you, so I want you to be confident. Government, business, recreation, schools, or homes. Which one of these five would you say is the foundation of society? Government, business, recreation, schools, or homes? Anybody have an answer already? Anybody else? If I'm not going to call on you, do you have an answer? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, thank you. Now, on three, let's all say our answer. One, two, three. Wow. I didn't hear any other answer but homes. Is that right? It's unanimous. Now, did anybody have something that was a close second? I mean, you really had to think and you swayed in your mind just a little bit. Anybody, close second? How many of you would have a second? Show of hands. Okay. Wow. That's awesome. I hope you've not been influenced at all by our Dream Home series in answering that. I hope you sincerely believe that the home is the foundation of society. Based on that premise, we are talking about rearing girls this morning. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about rearing boys. We're basing today's sermon on the first general principle we gave 3 weeks ago about parenting, and that is that we should parent backwards. We should have the end goal in mind. And the end goal for most of us is this. We want our boys to grow up to be holy young men who become husbands and fathers. Unless God has given them that gift of singleness. For our girls, our goal is for them to grow up to be holy young ladies who will become wives and hopefully mothers, unless God also has blessed them with that ability to be single. How do you rear a girl with the ultimate goal of her being holy as a wife and a mother? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Paul's instructing Timothy concerning the welfare of ladies in the church, primarily addressing what happens to a lady in his society when her husband dies. Which ladies should the church take care of? Which ladies should the church not take care of? Difficult situation in that day. From Paul's instructions to Timothy, there are some principles, I believe, about being a wife and a mother. Listen to what Paul says. Would you stand with me as we read this passage? When you get home, begin with verse 1, read the entire context. But verse 11 says, "But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house. And not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." Wow. Now I know we have no ladies like that in our church. None of our daughters are destined for anything like that. Amen? But can you see there was a problem that Paul is addressing here? Look what the next verse says. "So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander." Now turn to Titus chapter 2. It's just a couple of pages over if you've got a Bible like mine. Beginning in verse 3, Paul's now writing to Titus on how to instruct the church. And he comes from just a little different angle. "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. When you get home, a great chapter to read is Proverbs 31 also, beginning with verse 10, about a virtuous wife and mother. Let's pray. Father, please add your blessings to the reading of this your word. In your son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When Paul addresses Tim and Titus as leaders of the church, he gives great instruction about the role of men and the role of women in the church and in the home. Paul uses a word in Timothy that's a compound word that talks about being the ruler or the manager or the authority figure at home. Our ESV translates it managing the household. In Titus 2, he uses a word that means to give care, to exert energy, to work, to guard, to watch over, to keep the home. Because God has ordained the husband to be the head of the home, there is no doubt that the great thrust of the husband in the home is to give leadership. Everybody agree? Physically, spiritually, psychologically. So 2 weeks ago, our message spent a lot of time dealing with us as dads teaching our sons how to lead because they're going to be leaders of their own home one day. We know the Bible teaches that the wife in relationship to the husband is the body. I think we sometimes struggle in what her responsibility is. And yet if we read Scripture, it's clear. The husband is to be the leader of the home. And I think it teaches that the woman or the wife is to be the manager of the home. Does that make sense? Now, leadership is about doing the right things. Then what's the difference between leadership and management? While leadership is about doing the right things, management is about doing things right. Does that make sense? So as we rear our boys to be men, we're teaching our boys about learning to lead our families to do the right things. So what should we be teaching our daughters? We should be teaching them how to do things right. We're teaching them about being a man. Now, can I ask this question? When you hear about someone who manages a government institution, when you hear about somebody who manages a business, when you hear about somebody who manages a recreation sport, when you hear about someone who manages a school, do any of you devalue that position? No. We hold it in high esteem. Agreed? As a matter of fact, we got people going to school and then going on to further their education in colleges and universities and getting doctorate degrees in management so that they can manage some of the largest corporations, some of the largest government institutions, and we applaud them. But yet you told me that government, business, school, or recreation is not the foundation of our society. The home is. Wow. Have you ladies ever thought about how much God values you? He put you in charge of the most important institution on the face of the planet. The one place that affects school, the one place that affects recreation, the one place that affects business, the one place that affects government. And that's the home. I'm going to ask us as a church to make a shift that to me is more biblical. And that's quit defining a woman as a housewife. A woman is not married to a house. She married a man. Amen? Who would want to be married to something dead? And neither should we define our wives as stay-at-home moms or working moms. Motherhood is not the primary purpose of a woman. The primary purpose of a woman is to have a relationship with a man so that in that relationship, they bear the image of God in a relationship of oneness. Amen? In no way does this minimize ladies who are single by choice or by circumstance. But yet, generally, that's God's will for society. for society to be based on the union of a husband and a wife. And in that union, we must rear our boys to be men who will take lead and lead to do the right things. And so many young boys are becoming men and are leading the family down wrong paths. But what do we do with our girls? We rear them to be the best managers they can possibly be of the greatest institution on the planet, and that's the home. Wow. What an awesome job, if I can say that, to be a home manager. Let me give you a definition I found of management. It's going to appear on the screen. Management is the act of getting people together to accomplish desired goals and objectives using available resources efficiently and effectively. That's what the ladies are going to do. They're going to manage. They're going to get every member of the family on the same page so that we can accomplish our goals and our objectives and use the resources that God supplies us efficiently and effectively. Now, I'm sure you know this because you had business class. I didn't have business class. Everything I know about business, I learned on the farm or I learned it through FFA. But when you study management, there are certain functions of management. I want to list five functions of management. First function of management is to plan. Go ahead and list these. There's planning, there's organizing, there's commanding, there's controlling, and there's motivating. All of this is involved in being a manager, which means as wives, as mothers, as husbands, as daddies, when we start parenting our little girls, if they're going to grow up to be a manager of a home, they've got to understand the functions of management. You've got to know how to plan. You've got to know how to organize. You've got to know how to command. You've got to know how to control. And you've got to know how to motivate. Does this make sense? I see some of you wives, the light's coming on. Wow, Brother E, that's what I do. That's exactly what you do. And don't you really wish you'd known that before you got married? Amen? Wouldn't it have made those first transition years where you were constantly butting heads with your husband? It might have shed some light. That God did not bring me into His life so that I could lead, tell us where we ought to be going, what we ought to be doing, but learn to trust Him because I married Him. I chose Him to be my head. I actually told my mama I believe He was from God. Whoa, we've bit those words a few times, haven't we? Now you want to believe He's from Satan? And so while He's leading physically, what's my responsibility? I'm to be the manager. Why is that bad? Why is that wrong? See, there's another word in the Bible that's used for house that doesn't talk about ruler of the house, manager of the house, or worker, keeper of the house. There's another word that's used for servant of the house. And that's what we've implied to ladies. You're the servant of the house. And many men have gave that impression to their wives and to their daughters that you're the servants. And that's not biblical. Now, it's biblical and godly for us to have an attitude of being a leader who is a servant. Amen. Servant leadership, that of Jesus Christ. And in our management duties as a wife, I am a servant manager, but I'm not a servant to the house. I have oversight of the house. Therefore, we must teach our daughters how to plan. We must teach them how to organize. We must teach them how to give command. We must teach them how to control. We must teach them how to motivate. And we do that through values. I don't like to teach behavior. I like to teach character. I like to teach identity. I like to teach values. And I want to give you seven values quickly. And listen, I'll be glad to sit down with any of you parents who have daughters or grandparents who have granddaughters and go into more detail. The more I've studied this, the more I believe to rear a manager of a home, it would probably take 2 or 3 months for us to discuss this in details. You are that valuable. The first thing we've got to understand is the value of the home. If I ran a restaurant and was going to hire you to be my manager, I'd want you to understand the value of a good product and making sure that when we got the product off the grill, there were people in the restaurant who wanted to eat the burger. Agreed? If I was going to hire you to manage my company where we were going to make engines, I would want to make sure you understood the value of our company. I don't know if we're doing a good job or not in teaching the value of the home anymore. I don't know if the church really believes that the color of the world is ordained to be purple, husband and wife together. I think if you ask most ladies, they would say it's a blue world. So they're desperately trying to make it pink rather than purple. I think many of us have been reared in a culture that our home was literally a hotel rather than a home. A home is not a place where you just check in and check out and you use when you have nothing else to do. Moms, you've got to train your daughter to understand the value of home and why you're managing the home the way you do. Because it's the most important thing to their dad, your husband. What is a home to dad? I think it's a place where he gets his energy. It's a place where he's energized physically. He's energized spiritually. He's energized psychologically. A man should not have to go somewhere else to get his energy, to get his batteries charged. That should come from home. To the children, it's camp. It's where they're being trained to one day recognize who God's called them to be and be that person and live the rest of their life doing, because it's flowing out of who they really are. And they've received that training at home. And so in essence, they'll leave home one day, but when they leave home, they'll take home with them and want to build a home for their kids just like the home you built for them. Greatest compliment you will have is when you see your daughter managing her home as you managed your home. Wow. I want to be like mom, because the children know the value of home. And man, the husband, he'll not be able to wait to get home. It'll be amazing how you'll see his interests change when that's what home becomes. We've got to teach the value of that. Secondly, we've got to teach the value of authority. The value of authority. Our daughters must learn the principle of Matthew chapter 8. To be over, you got to be under. To have authority, you got to be under authority. Say that with me. To be over, you got to be under. To be over, you got to be under. In management, you only have authority if you're under authority. If the manager's not under the authority of the owner or the leader of the business, they have no ultimate authority. But once you've been given authority, wow, there comes great responsibilities, because you are now responsible for the consequence of your actions. Agreed? Agreed? I can't tell you how many people are sitting in here right now who are in management positions that they know, because they're under the authority of their leader, they have the authority to make a decision. And when they make that decision, it's on their shoulders. Wow. That's what we want in our young girls. Knowing I've been empowered to make the decision, because the decision I'm making is in line with the way the leadership of the home is leading. And when you do that, ladies, you have authority in the life of your children. I'm still convinced the reason many of our children are not under proper authority is because they never saw daddy under authority. And because the wife didn't see daddy under the authority of the Lord, she didn't bring herself under the authority of daddy. She did her own thing. And then, wow, children get to an age to where they don't listen to mama. Moms, trust me on this. When you start tearing down the authority of the leader of the home, you're tearing your own authority down. We got to teach our daughters about authority. And the way we teach our daughters about authority is our daughters understanding that we respect the leader of the home, and that's our husband, who just happens to be their daddy. Can I say this to us? When there is marital conflict and mom's leading in another direction, yeah, you'll think the kids take your side when you tell them how daddy is. But here's what you don't remember. Daddy is not your kid's husband. They don't see daddy as a husband. They see daddy as a daddy. And they see a side to this marital conflict that you don't see, because you're the wife. And what I'm telling you is, when you tear down authority, you're tearing down your authority. And then we got a rebellion on our hands. Does that make sense? So here's what we got to teach our daughters. We got to teach them about authority and about being under authority and why God's ordained authority. And there's consequences to disobeying authority. Amen? Quickly, thirdly, the value of order. Man, we got to get back to this. If you're a manager of a home, everything has a place, and most of the time it ought to be in its place. Does that make sense? Now think with me. How many of you parents, when you get a butcher knife out, you leave it lying on the table. How many of you, when you get the lighter out or matches, you leave the matches on the table? Nobody. Why? It's not safe. Agreed? Order brings safety to our life. It also allows us to be efficient and effective. Now, here's what I want to propose. We got to teach our daughters this. Toys go in the toy box, unless they're being played with. If I'm not playing with a toy, I ought to know where it is. You know where it is? It's in the toy box. Do you know why we keep asking that question in our home, where is so-and-so? It's because there's no order in most of our homes. And there is not a government that's allowed to be run that way. There's not a school that's allowed to be run that way. There's not a business allowed to be run that way. We don't run our recreational leagues that way, and yet we believe it's okay for there to be disorder at home. Clothes don't lie on the bed. Clothes go in the closet. Towels don't lie on the floor. They come from the shelf or the drawer to the bathtub, to the shower, and when they're done, you don't drop it. It goes somewhere. Amen? Where do you think we learn that? We learn that at home. And we got to teach our daughters about order so that when they start their own home, there is order. Now, can I be totally honest with you? I have never had a leader complain about order in his home. But I always have leaders complain about disorder in their home. And where does order start? Starts at home. Can I just say this? If we're not going to have time to put it back when we're done with it, we don't have time to get it out. And if we're going to choose to get it out, but we really want to do something else, we've got to learn the discipline of no, we can't do the next till we deal with what we're dealing with right now. Make sense? Moms, you got to teach this at home to our daughters so that they learn order as a manager. Fourth, the value of discipline. We've got this image that dad goes off to work and works all day long, and what does mom do? Well, mom's working too. Because many of our moms who are home managers, they're, if I could say this, moonlighting, not in a negative way, but either by choice or by circumstance, they're bringing in an income. They're gifted in a certain way, and they're using those gifts. But mom, you're still the manager of the home. And as the manager of the home, here's what you've got to teach. You've got to teach the value of work, the value of energy, the value of getting things done efficiently and effectively. And you got to teach that to your daughter. You've got to teach that to her. This is why I'm for chores. We've always been for chores. I have a friend who learned from his dad how to run a company. And if you don't know this young man, you would think that it just fell into his lap. But when you talk to this young man and you talk to his dad, he didn't start out in a manager's seat. You know where he started out? At the bottom. And he worked his way up. Don't those people make the best managers? How is a lady going to know how to manage a household if she's never dealt with household facilities or household relationships? Would you want to hire somebody in a management level position with no experience? That's exactly what husbands are doing. We're getting married to the woman who's going to manage our household, and she has no experience because mom and dad gave her none. We were so busy doing everything the society says we ought to be doing that we forgot that God gave us her to get her ready for the second most important decision she would ever make, and that's the decision of who she would marry and become the manager of a home, which is the foundational institution of society. Wow. Where's she going to learn that? She's going to learn that at home. Let me tell you what mom's going to do, and I'm convinced this is why the Bible teaches in the Old Testament that children are a blessing from the Lord. If you're a parent who've parented your children where it's all about the child, you are worn out, exhausted, and ready for Jesus to come back. And when they don't come home, you're rejoicing. Yes! A night on my own! But you know what? A manager has to divide the work. Agreed? And here's what we got to teach our daughters. We got to teach them how to look at things and go, okay, Dad, yeah, you mean listen to me. Because you're the leader of the home does not mean you're exempt from listening to your wife as the manager. See, your job is to say, let's do the right thing. Your wife's coming along managing what you're wanting to do. And what she suddenly realizes is, Dad, you got to do this, this, this when you get home from work. You men got it? That doesn't mean your wife's the head. It means she's the manager. It means she's dealing up, dividing the work. And she's made assignments to the kids. Well, that's why more kids would be a blessing. Amen? More laborers in the home to get things done. I'm being serious. You're laughing. That's the blessing of a large family. And what have we done in our society? We want to give our kids more so we have less. Because we want to ask less of them. Rather than to have more and ask more of them. Wow. Something about that's not right. The next value is the value of relationships. Got to teach our girls that to love their husbands and to respect them. And we do that by example. And then we got to teach them that the relationship with the child is one of authority and obedience. And life that out so they duplicate that when they get married and have children. Sixth, the value of motivation. Please don't let your daughter scream. Please don't let her cry and get her way. And don't let her bat her eyes and get her way. That's not proper motivation. Amen? If you're going to be a manager, you got to learn to motivate. And yes, there's times you'll have to motivate your husband. And yes, there's times you'll have to motivate your children. And yes, there's times you'll have to motivate yourself. But motivation is key in institutions. And moms, we've got to teach our daughters how to motivate positively, not negatively. I've never understood this. A wife does not want to be screamed at, but yet the first thing she does is scream at her husband. She doesn't want to be yelled at, but the first thing she does to motivate her husband is to go to... That's got to be stopped. It's got to be stopped in our management training. And that's got to come from moms at home. And the last thing, and in closing, we've got to learn the value of a spending plan. At some point, moms, here's what we got to start doing. Got to teach your daughters the value of money. I knew we had a problem early with Kiki when Kiki would want something and we'd say, we don't have enough money. She'd say, write a check. Kiki watched us write checks. Had no idea you had to have money in the bank to write a check. You know what the new thing with girls are? Put it on the card. Pay later. And many of us are paying later. Can I just throw this out? What would be wrong with our daughters at a certain age? We start dividing to them what we know they need to learn to live on. And then give that to them. And help them start making decisions of saving for the future. Deciding which pair of jeans would I really buy if it's coming out of my money, and if I save, I have money to do something else, rather than us just giving them everything they want because they're good girls. When you and I as dads spoil our daughters because they're good girls, I mean, you've been earning money for 15, 20 years, and now that spoiled little girl is going to become a home manager to a guy who's starting out at minimum wage, and there's going to be a shock. Moms, instead of bringing the daughter in on peeling the potatoes, that can't be fun. Why don't we show them what we make at some point? Show them what we're working with, how to go to the grocery store and get it done for $125 and have to plan 5 or 6 meals. And this is why we don't buy ding-dongs, but we buy great value. Does that make sense? Just a thought. If our girls don't learn to be managers at home, where are they going to learn? I wonder how marriages would change if boys, when they chose a spouse, chose based on, wow, she'd be a great helpmeet to me. She'd be a great manager of my home. And what if a girl started also considering, wow, I wonder what kind of leadership he's going to give, if maybe our marriages might start being different. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know we didn't get it done on time. Please, use this to stimulate our moms and our dads to truly evaluate rearing a daughter. Father, we've given some broad, general principles and functions of management and values, but help each parent tailor this to their individual daughter. Some daughters are more relationship-minded. Other daughters are more action-oriented, and all of that has to be taken into account as we design a plan to help our daughter become the best manager she can possibly become. We praise you, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.